Mother Janavi was saying last night that this song Jai Radha Madhava is like a portal into the a window into the spiritual world. And I was remembering Prabhupada was saying that this, he gave a kind of a definition. He said, this is the perfect picture of God. If you want to know what God is, these four lines give the complete understanding of God. So, just to add to that point. So, Hare Krishna. This is a little different class today. So, fasten your seat belts. This is from the chapter, The Lord Instructs Sanatana Goswami, Madhya Lila, chapter 20, verse number 70. Bhadra Karna Tadra Ganga Snana Karaila. Sikara Aniya Tanre Nutana Vastra Dila. Bhadra Karna Tanre Ganga Snana Karaila. Sikara aniye tanre nutana vastra dhila. Bhadra karna tanre ganga snana karaila. Sikara aniye tanre nutana vastra dhila. Chant. Ladies. Bhadra Karna, making gentle, Tanre, him, Ganga Snan, bathing in the Ganga, Karaila, cause to do, Sikara, Chandrasekara, Aniya, bringing, Tanre, to him, Nutana, new, Vastra, clothing, Dila, delivered. So the scene is that Sanatana Goswami has defied the Kazi by not coming to work anymore and refusing to accept, you know, service for the Kazi. So the Kazi puts him in jail. But somehow he escapes by bribing the jailer with some coins that were left by Rupa Goswami in a special saving account that was put in the hands of a grocer. And now he's free, but he has to get to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's a long way to get there. So he's traveling. He's traveling through the jungles. He's traveling through the forests. He's traveling for a long time. It's hard to say exactly. I don't think there's an, but it's weeks, maybe even a month. Finally, he arrives in the place. It's in the house of Tapan Mishra, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there. And now he comes to the door, and he knocks onto the door. Now he's dressed in rags. He's hasn't been bathed regularly and shaven in about that much time that it took him to travel. So now Chandrasekhar informs Lord Chaitanya that there is a person at the door, a Muslim mendicant, doesn't recognize him. Lord Chaitanya finally says, this is not a Muslim Megan, it's Sanatan Goswami. So then, of course, he lets him in. And then there's a beautiful exchange of love between Lord Chaitanya and Sanatan Goswami. And the Lord is always very inquisitive to find out what happened to Sanatan and how he was released and have, if he is all right. The Lord was very much concerned about his physical well-being. Finally, then there's a exchange, and Lord Chaitanya doesn't approve of the way Sanatan Goswami looks. So he says, give him a bath and get him some clothes. Get him a haircut. So this is the verse. Chandrasekhar then made Sanatan Goswami look like a gentleman. He took him to bathe in the Ganga, and afterwards he brought him a new set of clothes. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word Bhadrakarna are significant in this verse. Due to his long hair, mustache, and beard, Sanatan Goswami looked like a Darvesh, or hippie. Since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not like Sanatan Goswami's hippie features, he immediately asked Chandrasekhar to give him shaven cleaned, get him shaved cleaned. If anyone with long hair or beard wants to join this Hare Krishna movement and live with us, he must similarly shave himself clean. The followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu consider long hair objectionable. Sanatan Goswami was saved from a hellish condition, Maharava, by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Maharava is a hell where animal killers are placed. In this regard, we refer to Srimad Bhagavatam 5:26, verses 10 through 12. Om Agyan Timidandasya Ganajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swampada Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivin Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The essence of the essence, and of course we say the essence in the practice is to chant Hare Krishna, but the essence in the consciousness that leads to everything is what pleases the spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada was asked that question, what pleases you most? He said, if devotees chant every day 16 rounds on beads without fail. But then he gave so many other instructions, which becomes the foundation for the whole, what we say, format of our activities in Krishna consciousness. I remember, maybe Lakshmi Moni remembers this story too, it's an interesting story. I was in New Vrindavan, this was in 1987. Something wrong? Okay. Can you hear me? Yeah. 1987. And New Vrindavan had decided to changed its profile in the way it was practicing Krishna consciousness. One of Prabhupada's major, let me say, farm communities. It was one of the first temples that was established in the United States back in 19, 68. The community began in 68 and developed since then. But somehow, due to some leader, decided that we need to be a little different in the way we present ourselves in order to relate to the, what we say, the secular society around us. So many changes were made on the dress, the practice itself. And one of the things we did do during that time is we established a monument in honor of Srila Prabhupada, which was called the Temple of, no, not the Temple, but Srila Prabhupada's Palace. It was a beautiful palace done by the devotees to honor Srila Prabhupada. And one of the features of the palace, which would offer, would they would give tours, bus tours to outside people. And they would come and see the palace and learn about Krishna consciousness. And these were commissioned by these bus agencies, and people from all walks of life would come just to see this very grand monument, which was full of beautiful marble and gold and stained glass. Beautiful structure. The devotees did it themselves. This was an amazing thing. And we got marble from all around the world. And some of the marble that was gotten was never produced again. It was like the rarest. We spent so much money to build that palace. Now people were coming and learning about a little bit about the community, about spiritual life, about Prabhupada's movement. So right in the middle of that was a beautiful deity of Prabhupada in the temple room. And Prabhupada was sitting on his altar. Now we had done so many changes in the way Prabhupada wanted his movement made. And so we began different kinds of dresses, different kinds of musical expressions, all centered around Christianity, pretty much. So one time one bus tour came, and these were ladies from a place called Pennsylvania, which is kind of like, you know, you might say not backward, but, you know, not always up with the trend. To put it very mildly. So these were very traditional people. So they came, and it was a group of about 50 ladies. And they were, you know, some of them were quite elderly, most of them were. So they were taking tour. We would give tours to the palace, and then they'd come in front of Prabhupada, and the tour guide would explain who this person was and about the palace and that. And then after that, they would go on. But there was one lady, she really was kind of like enamored by Srila Prabhupada. She was mesmerized. And so when everyone walked on, she stayed there. She was the only one there. She really wanted more time with Prabhupada. While she's standing there, she hears a voice, loud and clear, steal my shoe. Actually, it was take my shoe. And she's saying, what is this? And the voice is coming from the shoe itself. It's not coming from Prabhupada. She could hear the emanation of the sound coming from the shoe. So the voice was repetitive, over and over, take my shoe. And she's thinking, how can I do this? I'm a Christian. I never stole anything in my life. And now I'm hearing this voice. They're asking me to take this shoe. It was like a radio broadcast. So she looks around, takes her purse out, takes Prabhupada's shoe, the one shoe, there's two shoes there, puts it in her purse, and leaves. We came and we looked and we said, somebody stole Prabhupada's shoe. And there was like, well, if you're going to steal, why don't you steal both of them? Why you steal one shoe? But then, of course, we were thinking, this is not right to keep one shoe on the altar, so we took the other one off. And then this went on for some time, and the deviations continued. Finally, it was so much that the community actually broke. And there was so much dissension and problems in the community. Everyone wanted Prabhupada's way again. Others wanted to keep the ways with Christian robes, long hair, beards, and so many expressions of, you know, different traditions mixed into one. And this is what we were doing for years. This went on from 87 to about, this was now towards the beginning of the 90s, 92, 93. And New Vrindavan had been kicked out of ISKCON because of that. We were expelled because of so many deviations. And so, then we understood something, that the shoes signify Prabhupada's presence. So when the shoe was stolen, it was kind of an indication of Prabhupada's feeling towards his, you know, the way we were operating, that it wasn't in line with what he wanted. And so he gave us a message, I'm not here. And so then, of course, there's a long history. Somebody actually should write a book about it. It's a really a powerful history. I know some of it. I don't know all of it. But it was pretty brutal. I mean, there were fist fights and there were like so many things going on in the temple. It was really two different groups. One that wanted Prabhupada's way. The other one wanted to keep the way that we were going. And so finally, the Prabhupada group won. And we brought Prabhupada back. We went back to the dhotis, back to the shaven heads, clean shaven again. We got rid of the, what we say, the bandstand, went back to kirtan with kartels, drums, and all that. We had an ensemble of different kinds of musical instruments, cellos and organs and pianos and harps and like this. And we would chant japa in the dark silently with no sound. So this deviation was really, really quite extreme. So finally, due to some strong leadership who mobilized the devotees, we brought Prabhupada's movement back. And that was around 93. Right? At the time when Prabhupada's movement started to reestablish itself, and that same lady who stole the shoe, she got a dream. And in the dream, she hears the voice, bring the shoe back. Bring the shoe back. And she's thinking, oh yeah, that shoe. She forgot about it. She had put it in her closet and forgot about it when she got home. So then she goes, she finds the shoe, she remembers everything, and then she's thinking, how can I go back there? You know, I took this shoe. So she takes it, she puts it in a box, and she writes a letter explaining everything, how she took it, why, the whole situation, and she mails it. So one day we get this box with Prabhupada's shoe in it. Around the same time, everything came back. So we understood, yeah, Prabhupada was gone in spirit. Although his deity was there, still he was not pleased with the way things were going on. But somehow it continued to go on. So the essence of Krishna consciousness, as far as the practice is concerned, is the desire of the spiritual master. What pleases the spiritual master? Devotees who understand the essence of Krishna consciousness try to find out as much as they can what is Krishna, how to please Prabhupada. And there's two things. There's the behavior and there is the philosophy. Knowing the philosophy is not enough. It's the behavior that makes the philosophy alive. When Prabhupada would hear sometimes others speak, in glorification of other gurus or movements or something, Prabhupada would sometimes question, well, what is his philosophy? And then again, it would always come down to the point, you know, what is he teaching? What is his behavior? What is his etiquette? So this is a very much important. I want to read something. I made this point by taking this verse, and here's something from Srila Prabhupada himself. This is a class that was done in 1976. I believe it was in New York. It's on the Srimad Bhagavatam. fifth canto, chapter 6. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, there's two sides to the paper. Okay. Okay, this is it. Now, for practical life, we are known all over the world as shaven-headed. Is it not? Now have we become hair-headed. We are forgetting shaving because there is a little leniency. Immediately, faulty things are creeping in. So we should be known as shaven-headed, not long-haired-headed. This is discrepancy. At least once a month, you must be cleanly shaven. In the bright fortnight on the day of Purnima, 4 days after your Ekadasi, once in a month, in the bright fortnight, you must be shaved. It is not desirable that in grown-up ages also that you should be chastised. This is not desirable. This is also difficult because when the disciple or son is grown up, if he is chastised, then he breaks. So before being chastised, you should be conscious that that is our rules and regulation we must observe. Therefore, it is advised by Chanaka Pandit. Prabhupada quotes this verse. Prapte tu so deshe varsham putra mitra var archere. After 16 years of the disciple or son, he should be treated as a friend. Because if you chastise him when he's grown up, then he will break up. That is also another risk. So our request is, instead of chastising with folded hands, Prabhupada says, I request you, don't become hippies again by growing long hair. Keep your head cleansed at once a month. That is my request. Neither can I chastise you. I am an old man. You are a young man. So Prabhupada very humbly is explaining what he feels this movement should be. And this is mostly for initiated devotees. For those who are not initiated, there is still a time period where one decides to make that, what we say, commitment to the spiritual master. But once the initiation takes place, then following the instructions of the spiritual master become the life and soul of the devotee. And that's the foundation for everything we do. Even if the expression is not perfect, if one sincerely tries to hear and follow the instructions of the spiritual master, then one will get the mercy of the spiritual master, even if there is some discrepancy. Now, sometimes, I think Lakshmi Moni mentioned yesterday in her class, we're afraid to dress like Vaishnavas and go to the store because people think we're like a little strange from the other planet. Somehow we have descended. And they're not sure what planet we're from or whether we're actually human beings or not. But there's a beautiful example here. People will appreciate you if you actually become yourself. Honest and what we say, intelligent people. Of course, there's always so many different types of people. But honest, intelligent people will respect you if you live up to what you actually believe in. Example, I was, when we were in the New Vrindavan community, I was preaching in colleges and high schools and going to different professors. So we had changed our worship in such a way that we were mixing in Christian principles, traditions, dress, hymns and everything. So there was one Christian professor I was going to his class regularly. So he used to come and bring his students to New Vrindavan just to teach them or show them the Vaishnav culture. And then after some time when we made the changes, he expressed to me, what is this? What are you doing? Why are you trying to be like Christians? He was a Christian. He was a strong Christian. He didn't follow us at all, but he appreciated us for who we were. And there was a sense of respect, and he lost that respect when we tried to be something different. So if we have this sense of self-respect in the way we do everything, and Prabhupada says, we are a gentleman. We don't force or act condescending or impolite to anyone, but at the same time, we don't, what we say, change in order to please everyone. Because trying to please everyone is not possible. Jai Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Panchatattva ki jai. There's an old saying. I probably have you heard this saying before. You can please some of the people some of the time. You can please all of the people some of the time. You cannot please all of the people all of the time. And Prabhupada would add a quote, just try to please Krishna. Or in this case, the spiritual master. When you please the spiritual master, then everything is perfect. I'll read another story just to show how, what we say, decent people see what we say, something that is different, and at the same time respect that. Let me see if I can find this one. Please forgive me. I'm really not so organized as I should be. I'll read something else in the meantime. There should be no compromise in our Vaishnava appearance. We are representatives of Srila Prabhupada. We should aim to be first-class representatives. We need to be aware of a bona fide standards of appearance, maintain it, and preach it. In the age of Kali, deviations easily become the standard. We should be alert to this. Proper Vaishnava dress helps us maintain proper consciousness regarding our identity and responsibility and service to Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas. Vaishnava appearance is attractive and will facilitate our preaching. The first impression, which is most often formed from visual stimuli, is most long-standing. Just by seeing a Vaishnava, the conditioned soul becomes purified. So when we dress like a Vaishnava, even if they don't, when we say, approve, they get some benefit. One time, one devotee, I don't remember the exact name of the devotee, he came in to see Prabhupada. He shaved up clean, put his tilak on so nicely. He was dressed so clean. He came in, he paid his obeisances to Prabhupada. And then he got up and Prabhupada looked at him. His eyes got big. Oh, you look like you came from Vaikuntha. From the spiritual world. So Prabhupada was pleased to see how the devotees would follow the etiquette when it came to appearance. There was a factory in India where all the workers were Hindus and mostly Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas had freedom, therefore, to wear Vaishnava tilak to work, and they also displayed other Vaishnava paraphernalia. But after some time, the factory went into new management, and the proprietor was a Muslim. On taking over the business, the Muslim owner declared that he would not allow the workers to come to work anymore wearing Vaishnava tilak. Most of the workers obeyed, and on a given day, announced by the owner, they appeared at the factory without their tilak. One employee, however, thought that he would take his chances and depend on Krishna. So he went to work wearing very clear white Vaishnava tilak. After seeing all the workers assembled, the new Muslim proprietor said, "This one devotee who has worn Vaishnava tilak is very courageous. He may be permitted to continue wearing the tilak to work, but all others are forbidden to wear it." So he appreciated that person standing up for his what he believes in. And that's our culture, is that appearance is very important. There's a statement by Chanakya Pandit that's often quoted by Srila Prabhupada. You eat to please yourself, you dress to please others. I think in this society it's the opposite now. We dress to please ourselves, and we go to Indians' houses for lunch, and we have to eat as much as they want us, right? It's like, okay, I can't eat anymore. Oh, please. Okay. So, no, the idea is that we want to, follow the etiquette. So, when you see somebody who's dressed so nicely, with tilak and dhoti and shaved head and sikha, and the ladies are wearing nice saris or dressed very nicely in what we say, I'm not exactly sure, but they wear these beautiful dresses, the ladies now. Then it's very pleasing to see that person and very pleasing to be with that person. But when we look raggy and all, you know, like that, you think, oh, okay, here's another hippie. So for those of us who are initiated, it's important. I know devotees have jobs, and so they have to go to work, and so they have to somehow or other feel like they have to satisfy the status quo by appearing as they are. And in some cases it may be true. But when we come to the temple, and here's the point, we should always dress like Vaishnavas and look like Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada is here. He's personally present in his deity form. And he emphasized this. He didn't like us to somehow or other compromise our appearance just for the status quo like that. And it's a principle of cleanliness too. Sometimes people would ask us, well, why you shave up? It's clean. It's clean. I have one woman disciple. Of course, I don't recommend this. She's cut her hair down really a lot. And I asked her why. Why did she did that? And she said, well, it's a real hassle to keep my hair clean. I have to wash it every day and it takes so long to dry. So I decided to cut it down like this. Her idea was, I want to spend more time hearing and chanting and not taking care of my body so much like that, where I have to spend so much time to doing all these womanly things. So I thought, okay, that's fine. It's not like someone has to follow that. But that was her consciousness. It was an expression of her desire to give more time and energy for her spiritual life and less time for the body. So it also gets us off the bodily platform. When we look like Vaishnavas and dress, everyone says, oh, they say, there's a Hare Krishna. I mean, I always travel like this, and many times, I think Lakshmi Moni Mataji was saying yesterday, how, you know, when people see you, they may ask questions. Oh, who are you? What do you believe in? And then you have a chance to speak like that. And this has happened to me so many times on airplanes, traveling through airports, or just traveling in general. People ask, oh, are you a Buddhist? I said, no. What are you? A Hare Krishna. What's that? Well, we're coming from the tradition out of India that's similar to Hinduism, but we are called Vaishnavas. And our main thing is to chant Hare Krishna. What is that? Oh, Hare Krishna? How do you say that? Oh, I have a card here. Here, it's just, this is the whole chant. Would you like to try it? Well, what do you get out of it? Well, you get relief from stress. Oh, sounds good. I have a lot of stress. We were traveling last year through America, and so many people came up to us. People who were official people working at, why are you guys dressed like that? Who are you like this? It was like four of us traveling. And so we would always have a chance to either distribute a book or give some mantra like that. But if we weren't dressed like that, we wouldn't have that opportunity. So it's important that we somehow or other see the importance of following what Srila Prabhupada wanted, especially in the temples. This is the most important thing. And in front of the deities, we should always be, what we say, ideal in the way we appear like that. And it's that etiquette. And etiquette is the ornament. Lord Chaitanya told that to Sanatana Goswami. He said, you are the best of all. No, well, Haridas Thakura actually said that, and Sanatana Goswami said that to Srila Haridas Thakura. Your behavior is excellent, and you also are our preacher. Therefore, you are the best of all Vaishnavas. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified Sanatana Goswami also for his etiquette. And he said to Sanatana Goswami, Vaishnav etiquette is like the ornament on a beautiful dress. The example could be given, just like when someone is dressed so nicely, they might have a beautiful brooch or a nice flower, or, you know, the men wear garlands, we look a little nicer than we usually do. The ladies always look nice because they're always so colorful and they dress very nicely. But we should always keep that in mind, that actually it's a way to preach, it's a way to please Srila Prabhupada. That's the whole thing. That's the essence. We want to keep this mood of pleasing Srila Prabhupada in everything we do. When Prabhupada was in 26 Second Avenue, he established after some time the four regulative principles. And at that time, not everybody was following the four regulative principles. And sometimes during the classes, when there would be a break, they would go out, have a cigarette, and come back in. And Prabhupada would tolerate it, knowing that he was preaching in a place where people's culture and habits were a lot different. But at one point, he said, "Don't let that little thing stand between you and Krishna. Don't let that little thing stand between you and Krishna." So a devotee thinks, I want to please the spiritual master. I want to please the Lord. What can I do in everything I do? So the mood is like that. How can we please Srila Prabhupada? And here, when it comes to etiquette, dress is very, very important. And so there's much to be said on this particular topic. I think I remember I attended a seminar by Lakshmi Moni Mataji in Mayapur a few years ago about dress. Do you remember that one? About saris? Yeah, okay. I don't want to put you on the spot, but anyway. And I came, and she was talking about the importance of, you know, how ladies should dress properly within the society, within the culture. And you'd be like, it was amazing how many senior men came for that seminar. You know, sannyasis. I was there. I was kind of... So it was interesting because it's such a big thing. We want to minimize the bodily expressions. We want to focus on Krishna consciousness. And dress is one way to either emphasize the spiritual or emphasize the material. It's like that. That's very important. That as Vaishnavas, we keep the etiquette in line with the spiritual principles. Any questions or comments? Yes. Book distribution? You mean for going out in the streets, how we should look out there? Well, there are many devotees who go out in dhoti and sikha, shaved head. Ladies go out in saris. That's what we did when Prabhupada was here for a while. Then after some time, there was some new things introduced because we were getting harassed a lot. So... Prabhupada said for preaching, you can change your dress. But not as a standard that we keep the dress all the time. We can go in ordinary, what we say, clothes that are clean and neat like that. Not just any way. So that's okay. And that's mentioned in also in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the seventh canto. When Prahlad Maharaj is being... A question, is there any Vaishnavs coming in disguise and preaching to you? There must be some Vaishnavs sneaking around here. Otherwise, how would you learn all this stuff? You're always in the palace, you're never outside. And then Prabhupada in the purport says, we can change our dress in order to facilitate our preaching like that. Sometimes we go to very important engagements. And people are dressed in suit and tie like that. We may also adopt that. But not as a principle, but as a tech, but as a tactic. It's a tactic, that's all. Tactics don't become principles. They become tactics used according to time, place, and circumstance. So that, yeah, you have to use. But now, devotees are going back more and more to dhotis and saris, and going out on the streets and distributing books. And I don't think we're losing any money because of that, or getting less sales because of that. It's your behavior that really counts. And when you're in Vaishnava dress, there's a kind of pressure to behave nicely. Because you're on the spot. Because if I misbehave, then, you know, I'll be a reflection on our society, we'd be a reflection on my spiritual master. So, yeah. Does that help? Okay. Any other questions or comments?
One thing you mentioned, you said that Prabhupada, in discussions about changing dress to go on Sankirtan, he always emphasized that we should not look like hippies.
Right.
We should look like ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Dress in non-devotee attire, or not, you know, non-Vaishnava attire, but we should look like respectable people, not, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, not like we just let it all hang out. No, we just kind of, we should look nice. And that takes some time. That takes some time. So Lakshmi Moni was making the point that not just changing dress, but changing dress in such a way that our attire is presentable and very, what we say, neat and clean like that. Anything else? Yes.
I have some nice presentation. I went with Sari in the store, in the market, because I didn't have time to change my clothes. And one lady said, long ago when I was a young girl, we dressed like this, and I appreciated you are in the long...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's more chaste, yeah. When we see, you know, people dressing all kinds of way, we think, what, you know, it's it doesn't really attract. It's actually, well, kind of repulsive when people just trying to show off, you know, by presenting themselves in a less decorated way like that. Anyway, so good, and then so many times. You know, I think I mentioned that just by... The thing is, I only have one other pair of pants, and I only wear it when I go into countries that don't allow devotees to come in. Like when I go to Serbia. Serbia, they say, it's a real risk to go in with, because, you know, you may get turned away, and it's happened. So, and of course, what is that one country? Singapore. You don't go in there with... Huh?
They didn't let Prabhupada.
Yeah, they didn't let Prabhupada. And they didn't let Lokanath Swami either. He came in and they turned him around. So as a tactic, in order to preach, we may also go in certain Muslim countries. I think also devotees come in like that. But... You know, we're happy when we're in our temples. I think this is the main thrust of my in the temples. We should be ideal in the way we dress and the way we look like that. And that when new people come in, they think, oh, this is different. This is. And sometimes people want to be like, oh, that's nice. I think I like to try that too. Of course, we don't encourage people to automatically shave up when they first come, because shaving up is actually a sign of surrender, and that comes at the time of initiation. But for those who are initiated, then they should follow Prabhupada's guidelines for temple dress and for temple appearance like that, especially when we stand in front of the deities like that. So... I don't want to chastise anyone because, as Prabhupada said, I'm an old man. Okay, any other questions? Yes?
I just think it's funny that so many people dress outside in bizarre ways. I mean, you know, they wear their hair spiked, bright red, blue, rings everywhere.
You got the jeans with the cut, the knees are showing, and. Yeah. The slopper you look, the better. Yeah, this is called Kali Yuga. The worse you look, the better you look. Everything is backward in Kali Yuga. So anything else you want to say about that? We are trying to somehow or other decrease the egoistic propensity of a being an individual distinct from everyone else. We want to somehow or other decrease that individual ego and sort of like amalgamate with the mood, the spiritual mood, and become just a servant of the Lord. That's all. We're not trying to be something special or something different or something new by our dress or by our appearance. That's part of the false ego. I'm getting some hard looks now, anyway. I expected it. Anything else? Dress, appearance? Come on, I'm ready for challenges. Yes, yes.
I'd like to share my experience also. Okay. I'm in study or dress all the time. I don't, practically, I don't wear anything else now. I also go in my hometown in sari.
Mm-hmm.
They are so impressed. They are coming to buy some saris.
Mm.
And also in India, I'm traveling with saris and dresses. Indian people are just amazed.
Looks very nice, very attractive. Before I became a devotee, I was in Vietnam. And I remember when I was in Vietnam, I used to see the ladies dressed there, the Vietnamese ladies, and they had all these colorful umbrellas and all these little, these nice, and I was just, and I, you know, I was a soldier, so I was taking pictures of all these ladies. With all these different colors of, I thought, this is really attractive, really nice. Yeah, and you just, you know, it has something to offer as far as, you know.
I'm getting some benefits. They overlook my almost 15 kilos of extra luggage.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's working, you know. The lady just said to me, just pray for me.
Yeah. Just pray. Yeah, it's people who have culture, have some understanding, appreciate the idea that people are Vaishnavas or devotees of Krishna. And if they actually feel, if I can do some service for this person, then I'll get some benefit also. And that's happened to me so many times. Okay. All right. Anything else? No. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sriman Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.